opinions expressed on the Chris Ann Hall Show are not necessarily those of the host or station management, but are definitely those of the founders of this nation. Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
American woman. Rise and shine. You know, if you don't, if you do not rise and shine, what are you going to do when you wake up and there is nothing left? What are you going to do when you look around and the country that you thought you lived in no longer exists? I'm just saying. What are you going to do? Because you're there. I mean, what we're seeing today is simply unprecedented. You know, I guess I can't say unprecedented. I would say something that we have not seen since 1774. How's that? And not having real access to the truth about the way things were with the government right before Lincoln's war between the states. I can't tell you exactly, you know, if we're at that point too. Because the reality is, so much has been corrupted about the truth of that era that it's difficult to really know what is true. But you see, we've been ignoring the framers of our nation for so long that they haven't bothered to really hide the truth about the founding of this nation. They've just simply ignored it. And that truth is available. So I can tell you that although technology is different, there's very little situationally different between George III Parliament and our government today. I guarantee you, if George III and Parliament had the technology that we have today, they'd have been doing the same thing. Because tyrants are tyrants, no matter where you go. But I have good news for you. Don't you want some good news? Good news is always a good thing. It's had a happy effect. Does that sound strange? Because that's exactly what the framers said about the Revolutionary War. That what George and Parliament had done had had a happy effect. Why is that? Well, because it got us focused on the right things. It motivated us to stand for liberty one more time, to get greater protections and liberty than we started off with. It motivated the people to move from a kingdom to a republic. A major step, but a logical step when you understand the progression of liberty in the hearts and the minds of the souls for the people over 700 years. From a kingdom to a republic was the natural progression of liberty. And Madison, in his, I don't know, I guess I would say argument against constitutional conventions in the future, said that they were able to achieve what they would have thought as in their time as a miracle. Because, he said, we had a sword at our throats. You know, I mean, they were motivated. He said the battle that they had before them motivated them to be focused upon liberty. And when questioned about having constitutional conventions in the future, Madison said, wait a minute. We should have that, but it should be entered into very lightly because remember, we are not going to have the same motivation then as we do now. And unless we have motivation like a sword at our throats, we are never going to be focused on liberty. We will be focused on political gain. We will be focused on avarice, ambition. And a constitutional convention will be nothing more than a glorified political travesty. Which, by the way, I do not is the whole reason why I do not support, well, half of the reason why I do not support constitutional conventions these days. We don't have the proper motivation anymore. Who would we send to a constitutional convention? Would the state legislators pick them? Because if the state legislators were to pick the delegates, then, well, guess who would go? Whoever your political parties want to go. Not me. Not Tom Woods. Surely not Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. Although, if I could interject for just a second, I'm a little disappointed. Rand needs to get his right perspective on immigration. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because I don't want to get off this topic, but this is what we need to do here. If your state legislators are in charge of picking the delegates to the Constitutional Convention, all you'll get is another a bunch of political hacks just like you have in Congress, just like you have in your state legislators. And if they would send Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or Justin Amash or the like, they would be so far outnumbered that they would be in the same position that they are now and would be unable to do anything at all. My other opposition to constitutional conventions is that we don't have anybody qualified to put their hands in the Constitution. So what if the people get to choose? Right? What if we hold a general election in the states on who goes to the constitutional conventions? Well, again, it won't be you and me, because the people elected the people who are the problem. See, we're just going to send more of the same people who are creating the problems that we have today. They're not going to fix the problems. They're going to be searching for their own political gain. And might I ask a simple question? What particularly is wrong with the Constitution these days? See, most proponents for a constitutional convention want a constitutional convention to fix the government. And they want to use a surgical intrusion of the Constitution to fix government. There's nothing wrong with the Constitution. It's the government that's broken. It is the system that is corrupt. So we want to add a balanced budget amendment. We want to add Second Amendment preservation amendment. Look, people, I don't get that. We have a Bill of Rights. We have a First Amendment. We have a Second Amendment that says shall not be infringed. Congress is ignoring those things. We have a Fourth Amendment that has been on the books since the beginning of the document. And our government openly defies and ignores it. Why do we think by having a constitutional convention and adding yet another amendment is going to be something that the politicians in this government are going to honor? If you believe that, you are seriously kidding yourself. It's not the Constitution that needs to be fixed. It's the system. You know, our federal government is like a car that's broke down on the side of the road. And we, the people, are the passengers. And we've just realized we're broke down on the side of the road. We've been here a while. We're not quite sure how long we've been sitting here, but we just woke up and realized we are broke down on the side of the road. We've jumped out of the car. We've popped the hood. We've noticed, oh my goodness, at some point in time, all the wires have been stripped and all the hoses have been slashed. This car is going nowhere. And yet all this time, we thought we'd get the thing running simply by changing out the drivers. What is this political shuffle that we engage in? What is going to come about the investigations of the IRS? What are we going to do? Oh, well, we'll fire this person and suspend this person and promote this person and replace this person, just like Susan Rice, right? All it is stinking musical chairs. All we're doing is changing out the drivers. And the car is still broke down on the side of the road, and we're wondering, why can't we make this thing go? We keep changing out the drivers. Look at this. We just elect new people, and it just won't go anywhere. Wake up, people. The car is broke down. We've got a system that's broken. And until we fix the serious flaws in the system, the drivers will still be unable to start the car. Look, Congress supports these unconstitutional executive agencies. They refuse to do anything. They refuse to defund them. They refuse to fix the car. Let's elect some mechanics now, okay? Let's elect some people that know how to fix this, have a proven proficiency in the Constitution, and stop electing your political hacks.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. Freedom 93 FM. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Good morning. Can I just say that again? Good morning. When does the insanity end? I'm just saying because the happy effect is what I started on this morning. The happy effect. Do you know Sales of 1984? The book by George Orwell. Have risen over 70% in the last 3 days. See, that's the happy effect. People are waking up. People are going to wake up and see this and see what is going on. And see with their very own eyes the patterns of tyranny. See, this is why what we do is so important here on the Chris Ann Hall Show and in my Liberty First ministry, because I'm showing people the patterns of tyranny and exposing the fact that these things just never change. It's the same bag of tricks over and over and over again. I had a Great Minds Alike moment this morning. My friend Tony on Facebook, he's over in Portland, Maine. He's listening in this morning on the Chris Ann Hall Show. I'm sure he's on TuneIn.com. Maybe he's live streaming. Those of you listening live on Freedom 93.3 FM here in Florida know that we are endeavoring to tell the truth, regardless of how politically correct and how popular that may be. You know, I've given up on being popular in my state capital or yours. It's just simply not going to happen. And Tony says, I want to know more about the NSA facility. Yeah, I had that same thought this morning because I pulled it up. You know, the one in Utah. The one in Utah alone is 1 million or 1.5 million square feet. 100,000 square feet of data center space. And greater than 900,000 square feet of technical support and administrative space. Cost of $2 billion before it's finished. Now you know how those government projections go. It won't be $2 billion, it'll be $9 billion before we're done. That's just the construction. They project that another $2 billion for hardware, software, and maintenance. It's going to require 65 megawatts of electricity costing $40 million per year just to maintain an electricity. Backup generators, fuel tanks, water storage, power substations. You wonder why we're having this massive data grab. Seriously? I'm just saying. The IRS taking our emails. NSA gathering up all our phone calls, all our you know, the flip-flopping here is just crazy because you've got people at NSA saying, oh, this is not happening. What Snowden said is not happening. But let us forget that Obama just had told the public that it is happening, we're just not doing it the way he says we're doing it. We're watching phone numbers. We're not listening to content, really. Are we supposed to believe that there's a large leap from watching phone numbers to listening to content? I mean, after all, what are you watching phone numbers for if you can't click on that phone number and listen to what's going on? And simply because you're not listening now doesn't mean you're not collecting the information. And we know they are, because why else would they need these data storage centers called Intelligence Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center? Yeah. Say that one in one breath again. Intelligence Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center. It's a brave new world, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? Your politicians wanted it. They're funding it. They asked for it. And now they're showing you that they're upset. Who's really truthful here? Beside you, baby, watching
it all. The Chris Ann Hall Show. The opinions expressed on The Chris Ann Hall Show are not necessarily those of the host or station management, but are definitely those of the founders of this nation. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, it's awesome to be on 93.3 Freedom FM because after me comes Daryl Day. And then after Daryl, not directly after Daryl, but after Daryl comes Bernie Thompson. And we are the Liberty Trio. We are fighting for liberty all day, Monday through Friday. And what a team, you know? I mean, what state can boast 3 consecutive knockout punches in defense of liberty? So I'm just an hour. You don't have to stop after me. You can stay on TuneIn and listen to Daryl and then listen to Bernie. But you see, the thing that's bothering me this morning is not really the politicians, because we should expect that from politicians. We should expect politicians, at least in this day, because they lack a sense of morality. Ooh, take that statement, juxtaposition, who I'm just about to talk about, and brace yourselves, I am really about to make some people mad. Hee hee, sorry. Remember, the truth is not fair and balanced. And I'm trying to get you over your love affair. I'm trying to wake you up to understand that this love you have for some of these politicians is selling you into slavery. Shh, Chris Hann. Don't talk about the Republicans. I'm so tired of the Republican Party attacking itself. That's why we have Barack Obama. No, I'm sorry. We have Barack Obama because the Republican Party consistently puts up candidates that have no moral center, have no understanding of the Constitution, have no understanding of their obligation and their job description. Marco Rubio, Alan West. I am sick to death of this love affair that people have over Alan West. Sick to death of it. Alan West does not love liberty. And when I see this article in my Sunshine State News about how Alan West is now going to run for some new office in 2014, my head wants to explode. Right? Because listen to what Alan West is saying now. I mean, I could not believe my eyes when I read this. Someone has body snatched Alan West. Okay? Someone has body snatched Alan West. And until Alan West comes forward and apologizes for his votes, and apologizes to me for the way he treated me, I don't believe a single solitary word he says. Now listen to this. Alan West wrote in an email to supporters that he sent out on Wednesday. See, this is it, because the supporters don't know the truth. You wouldn't be supporting him if you understood the truth. He says, and I quote, "We are in grave danger of sacrificing our liberty in the name of safety." What? Someone has body snatched Alan West. This is Alan West, who voted for NDAA 2012, indefinite detentions, and then went on a tour across Florida defending his vote, shaking NDAA sections in the faces of his constituents, and asking, and I invite anyone to challenge me on my understanding. Remember that, Alan West? Should I just pull up the video so everybody can see that again? And then the people started contacting me. Please contact Alan West so he can learn the truth about the indefinite detention provisions in NDAA. So I did. His staff refused to let me speak to Alan West. His staff. Miss Hall, you can come to a town hall meeting and speak to Alan West. Oh yeah, right. As soon as I walk in the door and they figure out who I am, what do you think the odds are they're going to let me speak before they haul me out? Their final question, the staff's final question to me was, Miss Hall, are you in Congressional District 22? Alleging, insinuating that I had no right to talk to Mr. West because I was not in his political constituency. My question to them was, do you ask your donors that question? So remember, donors of Alan West, if you are not within his voting constituency, no matter how much money you give, it's wasted. You might as well flush it down the toilet because Alan West is not going to speak to you. So I had a mutual friend of Alan West's who agreed to be a middleman because he had Alan West's personal email. They had been friends for many years. And he agreed to be a middleman because I was sure at that time, not in love with Alan West, but believed as a man who is retired from the military to be a man of honor, a man who would honor his word, his request to have someone speak to him about the indefinite detention provisions in NDAA. I believed it was just his staff who was intervening. And now I get this email from Alan West after our back and to, because he refuses to meet with me. I said to him in my email, Mr. West, you made an invitation. I thought you to be a man of honor. I said, I just want to speak to you about this. If I'm wrong, then show me where I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I will make a public statement of retractment on all of what I've said about these provisions. But if I'm right, won't you just at least hear me out? In response to that email, he says, I refuse to discuss this paranoia any further. Alan West called me paranoid because I wanted to explain to him what the indefinite detention provisions did in NDAA, and now we're figuring out that that's just those sections are so much worse than just indefinite detention. And yet now, Alan West, we are in grave danger of sacrificing our liberty in the name of security. You know what, Alan West? You're a charlatan and you're a hack. Until you come out and publicly apologize for your votes on these constitutionally destructive issues, then you're just another election. You are just another candidate running for election who thinks that he can fool Tea Party people, and he might just do that, into voting for them. You know what? When are we going to grow up? When are we going to end our high school crushes over these politicians and start holding them accountable? You know, I want somebody to pull together a study and see how many of the people, when George Bush was president, were against the very same provisions that they're for now that Barack Obama is president. I want to see a study that shows how many Republicans are against what Obama is doing today, but were for the very same provisions when George Bush was president. Because you see, that's the telling thing here. It's all about politics. It's all about power and elections. And I'm tired of the hypocrisy. I mean, really, seriously, aren't you tired of the hypocrisy? We are waking up a nation to the hypocrisy of Marco Rubio, right? You've got Barack Obama saying, oh, we can't be 100%, we can't have 100% security, 100% privacy. And we hate Barack Obama for that. But Marco Rubio says we must balance our deeply held convictions of privacy, freedom, and liberty in order to provide for national security. How is that any different? We have to love Marco Rubio because he says we can't have 100% security and 100% privacy, but we have to bash Barack Obama for saying the exact same thing? Marco Rubio thinks the intelligence community works really hard and does an excellent job of trying to protect Americans. Well, I can tell you that the intelligence community does do that. I was a member of the intelligence community. Those people on the front lines are working very hard. The problem is not the intelligence community. The problem is the intelligence committee in Congress. Rubio says there's always ways to improve programs, and ongoing oversight is important. So what is Rubio's version of oversight? He calls it intense congressional oversight. What is intense congressional oversight for Marco Rubio? And I quote, oh, well, they get to review from time to time and see how it's being applied. Really? That's what oversight is? That's what intense oversight is? Simply reviewing and seeing how it's being applied? Where are the checks and balances, Mr. Rubio? I am so sick to death of the political flip-flopping that happens right in front of our faces, and yet we still fall and slobber all over Marco Rubio and Alan West. When are you going to wake up and see these people are enemies to the Constitution, they are enemies to this country, and until they apologize for their actions, their flip-flopping is nothing but political gamesmanship for power and position. You make me sick. Sorry.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Greed, avarice, ambition over life, liberty, and property. That is the problem. And what are we, the people, going to do about that? The fastest hour. I'm just saying. The fastest hour. When you can go this fast at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 4 a.m., and 3 a.m., you got the fastest hour. It's just amazing. I just want to ask you a question as we're in this last segment. Because, you know, I've been poking a lot of big guys in the eye lately. I don't know how much longer they're going to let me be on the air in my nation's capital before something happens. Maybe I will get the same political smear, maybe the same personal smear that they're trying to do to Sheriff Nick Finch. Yeah, remember that prediction I made for you? Watch out. Liberty County Sheriff fired. They have absolutely no basis for the crime they've charged him with. And so I warned you, guess what? Sheriff Finch is going to be charged with sexual harassment. Someone's going to come out and claim that he sexually harassed them. Well, guess what? It happened. Call me a prophet. I don't know. I'm just saying, politics are just that predictable. The same old bag of tricks. And I'm wondering how long before my personal smear comes as I poke these big tyrants in the eyeball these big tyrants that the people are in love with, is I show the people across this country how tyrannical they really are. How hypocritical they are, how politically inclined they are, and how immoral they are. Barack Obama says we can't have 100% security and 100% privacy. Marco Rubio says we must balance our deeply held convictions of privacy and freedom and liberties in order to provide for national security. Please tell me how that's any different. It's just the same words, just more of them. But we have to kick Marco Rubio in the pants, right? How about amnesty? Rubio told us, no undocumented immigrant is eligible to apply for temporary status until the border security and fencing plan is in place. After being in the temporary status for at least 10 years, no currently undocumented immigrant can even attain permanent residence, much less citizenship, unless the border security, employment verification, and exit system triggers have been achieved. And then he told Univision, in Spanish, first comes legalization, then comes this border security measures, and then comes permanent residency process. Regarding legalization, a vast majority of my colleagues have already accepted that it must take place and it must start at the time when we start with what has to do with security. This is not conditional. Legalization is not conditional. So what happens? Rubio figured out, hey, people in America actually speak Spanish. I can't say one thing in English and another thing in Spanish. So I've got to go on Sean Hannity's show and do major, major CYA. So what does he do? Oh, well, you know, I was misunderstood. Maybe you silly gringos trying to speak my language didn't really understand what I meant. Maybe I misspoke. You know, those are pretty clear statements in my opinion. And I think what Rubio is believing is the Obama Kool-Aid that all the people in America who are immigrants are pro-amnesty, because they're not. They simply are not. So I'm just saying, when are we going to fall out of love with these people? Are we going to wait until the Department of Justice takes over your police department like they want to, New York? The Department of Justice notified New York City officials yesterday that it plans to ask a federal judge for the right to be in charge of New York City Police Department. Are you hearing me? The federal government is going to take over a local police department if this federal judge allows this. We are just insane. Absolutely insane. Your Department of Justice, because of NDAA 2012, has all the power under the laws of war. Thank you, Alan West. Thank you, Marco Rubio, for voting for those things. Jeff Miller. Daniel Webster. Thank you for selling our liberty for your greed, avarice, and ambition. Wake up, everybody. It's time to hear the bells of tyranny ringing. Time to stand for liberty. God bless you, so God will bless America. Thanks for listening once again.